Take your Bible this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number six. I covered your prayers this morning and ask you to just put up with our voice, tolerate it if you can, and hear the message more so than the messenger. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning. This is what God has put in our heart as of Friday evening. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, it starts with the word but. And that word is there because God's people are supposed to operate a whole lot different than the people that are in front of these verses right here. The people in the world, the Bible talked about up there, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. And of course, Jesus is addressing the Jews in this, and it is for our benefit as well. But he said, but, and then he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he said all these other things. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about something to eat, something to wear, some place to live. He said all these other things will be added unto you. And in this new year, God's put it in my heart to just preach this morning on seek ye first things first. Seek ye first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can be seated. Pray with us this morning. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for a heart for the things of God. Lord, I remember when I couldn't be any more lost than I was. And I also remember, Lord, when you saved me. Now I can't be any more saved than I am. And I thank you, God, for the good singing. I thank you for the choir. I thank you for the truth of the Scripture. What a day that'll be when our Jesus we shall see. Now this morning, Father, as we look into the Word of God, I pray, Lord, your blessings upon it. And God, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. In days gone by, I normally, if I look at chapter 6 and verse number 33 that we read in your hearing, I normally concentrate on verses 25 through verses number 34. But this time around, the Lord showed me that there's more in the chapter that as far that entails or involves seeking first things first than just the things that we wear, the things that we eat, the things that are necessary for our provision. I noticed this morning that the Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God. I know that Brother Vince has begun a study in Sunday school. I wasn't here this morning, but I know that he mentioned last Sunday he was going to begin a study contrasting the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. One of the things that is really, really sticks out in my heart and my mind in the two is in the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again to enter into that kingdom. You've got to be saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood. In the kingdom of heaven, it includes not only the sphere of possessors, those that possess the Lord Jesus, but it also includes the sphere of possessors. Let me just say this to you this morning. Everybody that sits in a church service like this is not a possessor. There are professors. I was a professor for 6.5 years, but oh happy day when I became a possessor, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not to confuse anyone, but it's one thing to have something on your lips. It's another thing to have someone in your heart and know how much he loves you and know how much he cares for you Amen. And He's the one that clothes the lilies of the field. He's the one, beloved, that knows what we have need of even before we ask. But He said to ask, and we should receive. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and notice this, and His righteousness. The Pharisees were not in, they were not interested in His righteousness. They were interested in their own righteousness. And the Word of God tells us that our righteousness is plural. In other words, take everything that we can muster up as people. God counts it as filthy rags in the sight of God. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it's talking about the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that would bring honor and glory to Him. I sent a text to Brother Ron. I can't remember if it was Thursday evening. I think it was Thursday evening because he sent me a text. They were to leave out Friday morning. And they left a day early because of the bad weather in the Northeast. And they split the trip up so they wouldn't be driving at night. So they drove halfway in the daytime. And then Saturday we're going to drive Friday drive the other halfway in. To New England, into that area up there where they were going. And I sent Brother Ron a text, and I just said, Brother Ron, are you okay? Have you reached your destination? And he texted me back, and he said, wow. He said, the pastor and his wife is sick, and they're concerned about us. Now listen to me. I sent him a message. I said, no, that's him, capital H-I-M. That you preached about last night. Honey, listen, anything good about any of us, it's Him. Say amen. It's Him, Brother Brian, that causes you to bow on your knees and pray for somebody that's in need. It's Him that causes you, amen, to help somebody else along life's way. It's Him, amen. Listen, the men in prison, I'm trying to get started this morning. But the men in prison used to, they had a bad habit of making more of us as the men of God than they ought to. And they would lift us up and, so to speak, put us on a pedestal. And I would try to tell the men, I'm sure Brother Wayne faced that, Sister Carol. They just loved to see him coming. And he had some tracts and he had something good for them, something from the Word of God. And I would tell the men, listen, Don't brag on us. Brag on Jesus. I tell the men this simple statement. If it was up to me, I wouldn't leave my family and drive 8, 9, 10, 12 hours to go to a prison and tell you about Jesus. If it's up to me, every one of you could go to hell. But there's a Savior that lives inside of me. And He's the one that gets the glory, amen, because we're concerned about others and the souls of men and women, boys and girls. It's Him. I want to give you three things. I doubt I'll get through with them this morning. But I want to look at seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our living. And then I want to look at seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our giving. And then I want to look at seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our forgiving one another. Amen. And all of that is wrapped up in this chapter. And that's what I want to address today. If we look at, first of all, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, seeking first in our living, that living would be a life of prayer. If you would look at Matthew, please, at chapter number 6, and start in verse number 5 with me. The Bible said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Don't you feel sorry for somebody that the only reason they would pray is because another man standing over there watching them, waiting for a pat on the back? Oh, did you hear their prayer? I'm telling you, that's pitiful. Say amen. And Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. He said, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what that is, that pat on the back. Oh, so-and-so, boy, he really prays good, don't he? Did you hear how long he prayed? Amen, and all of that. But listen, he said, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. He's talking about just having a secret place. I tell you, it would change your year. It would change your year if you would seek you out a secret place. Amen. A place to get alone with God. A place where there's no television. A place where there's no cell phone. A place, beloved, listen, where there's nothing to distract. No radio. A place to get alone. There's not one thing in the world wrong with a husband and a wife praying together. But I tell you, I believe a wife ought to get off all by herself. I believe a husband ought to get off. I believe there's nothing wrong with teenagers praying with mom and dad. But that teenager ought to have a place to get off by himself where it's just you and him. Say amen. Get in that closet, amen. Years ago, I preached a message entitled, and I won't preach it this morning, but I'll give you the gist of it. I'm just going by memory. But some things I found in the closet. Amen. Where Jesus said, enter into your closet. The first thing I see when I open my closet is a bunch of clothes. Amen. And you say, well, what's that got to do with prayer? I'm going to tell you, you get in his presence and you'll realize you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There's clothes in my closet, amen, that's got stains on them. I can't wear them to church anymore. You say, why don't you throw them away? Because I'll work in them until they wear out. Say amen. But I tell you, you open that closet, there's clothes in there. Amen. You open that closet, there's a place to be alone. I never have opened my closet and somebody said, boo. Amen. No, there's nobody in there. Amen. That's a place. Oh, she must have done that to you, didn't she? Amen. Well, you deserved it, Billy. Amen. But it's a place to be alone and get alone with God. Amen. And then in that closet, there's shoes. Down there at the bottom of our closet, there's all kinds of shoes. You say, Pastor, what's prayer life in the closet? It will remind you, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Somebody you're going to meet that day needs Jesus, amen. Needs somebody just to share a witness with them. Share a word of encouragement with them, amen, along the way. And then what do you hide in the closet? Amen. I don't know about you fellas, but if I got something I don't want a thief to get a hold of, something that's valuable. That's what you find in the closet. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if we don't get along with God and pray, then we're missing the valuable things in life. We're putting value on things that really have no eternal value. But if we'll spend time with God in the closet, we'll realize what really does have eternal value. Amen. And there's something else you find in the closet. Help me right here. Junk. Has anybody got any junk in your closet? Amen. If somebody going to come to visit, what do? You open the closet. There it goes. Amen. Get it out of the middle of the room and hide it. Listen, every one of us has got some junk in our lives. If we get in the closet with God, God say, hey, this needs to go. This is slowing you down. This is not helping you in your walk with God. Why don't you junk it, amen, and get rid of it? Some of us has got clothes in there. Oh, we're hoping one day to fit back into them. Anybody with me right there? Amen. We're hoping against hope. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. There's some things that need to go. But let me give you something else that's in that closet that you need to be reminded of. This is a reason to pray, to have a life of prayer. There's a shelf. Brad, what would it be like as a preacher to be set on the shelf, never to be used of God again? Wouldn't that be pitiful? Amen. And see, if we'll spend time in that closet, we'll realize, oh, thank God I'm not on the shelf. Oh, God, I don't want to be put on the shelf. I want to be in the battle. Say amen. I want to be used of God in these days. There's a life of prayer. If you look at verse 16 through 18, there's something that goes with prayer, and that's fasting. The Word of God said in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. In other words, Jesus, two different sections here on prayer. He's saying, please, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be just for show. Amen. How many's ever heard this statement made about somebody? They're real. Oh boy, I don't know if you can make a better statement about a child of God than just to say they're real. You know what that means? That means they're the same on Monday morning as they are on Sunday morning. That means they're the same at the grocery store or at the bank or at the house of God. Say amen. They're real. They're not just putting on a facade. Amen. But they love the Lord and they're real. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites when you fast. He said they made their face of a sad countenance and they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Did you know that's what a lot of people that sit in church today are concerned about? How they appear unto men. It's a happy day when you forget about how you appear unto men and realize what counts is how we appear unto God, our Savior, our Lord. He's the one that knows all about us. Amen. He said, verily, I say unto you the same thing. They have their reward. He said, but when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you have a life of prayer this morning? I'm going to tell you today, beloved, it'll change your year if you'll just get you a secret place. If you'll just get along with God, amen, and pray, it'll help you. It'll change your year. Not only the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our living in a life of prayer, but look at the life of provision. The Word of God said in chapter 6 and verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Listen, that's what it's all about right there. Listen, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. I mean, are you going to spend the year worrying about this and worrying about that? Are you going to realize, beloved, that if you're saved by the grace of God, there's a God in heaven that feeds the sparrows. There's a God in heaven that clothes the lilies. And He's going to take care of His children. David said, I once was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. Amen. I go back into my grandparents' life, and they have some stories to tell that are absolutely unbelievable. God called my grandpa to preach the gospel, and my grandpa would go to the river. Old-timers know what it means to ford the river. Amen. In other words, you waded across. Amen. There was no ferry. There was no boat. My grandpa would take off his dress shoes, roll up his dress pants, take his socks off, and ford the river. Where was he going? He was carrying a Bible. He was going to preach, amen, the Word of God. Amen. And beloved, listen to me. He'd get on the other side, take his handkerchief out, dry his feet off, put his socks back on, put his shoes back on, let his breeches down, and go on and preach, walk for miles to preach the Word of God. Amen. And he got in the prayer closet one day, and he said, God, I don't mind, but how long do you want me to do this? How long, God, do you want me to keep fording the river and keep walking to preach? He was, by that time, getting a little older, and My grandfather told the story of two businessmen that showed up on a Saturday morning, and right there in the car, in the driveway, was a car in front of the house. And the two businessmen knocked on the door, and my grandpa's name was John, said, "John, we don't know why we're doing this, but there's the car, here's the keys, and the insurance and the tags is paid." I tell you, God knew why, amen, they were doing it. And you say, "Pastor, I don't believe stories." That's our problem. Oh, you have little faith. We don't believe that we can get in the closet with God. God know what we need even before we ask. But he said, "Ask, and you shall receive," amen. Oh, beloved friend, it's a life of provision. The Bible said, "Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above." Amen. And the Bible said, "From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God told the church at Philippi, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The Bible tells us, beloved, that God will supply our needs. George Mueller said this. He had that orphanage and took care of many children. He said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." Amen. God's people shouldn't be torn out of the frame. God knows what we need. Amen. And God will supply that need. This is what a man said by the name of Arthur Rowe. He said, "Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If it's encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." You think about that, beloved. Think about that for just a minute. God wants us to trust him. Amen. He doesn't want us have to say about us, "Oh, ye of little faith." Now, let's talk about the second thing in the message today. There's the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our living. Brother Ron touched on this Wednesday night, and he touched on the time when God put it in his heart. He and his wife, he learned about tithing, about giving 10% of his income to the things of God. And he said that at the time they had two vehicles and two incomes, and then a baby come along, and he told the story, and I really enjoyed it because it was a parallel to what Miss Eve and I have been through. She's worked through the years, but not when there were little children at home, amen. And I'm not fussing at anybody. Everybody has to make their own decision. And I'll say this, everybody has to give an account to God, amen, for what we do, amen. But Brother Ron talked about that. I read a story yesterday about this fellow that he got with his pastor, and he learned about tithing. And at the time, he was making $45 a week. And anyway, God blessed his business, so his tithe was $4.50. Is that right? I don't know about that. I think that's right. But anyway, I read about this, and I'm going on memory, but I'll get it real close. But God blessed his business, and I mean it got up into the thousands and thousands of dollars a week. And he came to his pastor, and he said, "Listen, I would like to get out of this promise." He said, I did promise God that I would give him 10%. He said, "I'd like to get out of this promise. Would that be okay?" He said, "No." He said, "That wouldn't be okay." He said, "Well, will you pray for me?" He said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll pray that you go back to making $45 a week." How's that? Amen. No, he didn't need that. Say amen. Amen. Listen to me. There's people who say, "Well, I would give a tenth if I won the lottery." Honey, if you wouldn't give a dime out of a dollar, you wouldn't give a tenth of a million. Somebody say amen. I tell you today, I'll get with this. Look at the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our giving. First of all, look at chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. The Bible said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of others. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This almsgiving now, that's not talking about a tithe. That's talking about helping somebody, doing something for somebody along the way. God said, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. I read this and I thought it was a perfect picture. Charles Spurgeon and his wife, according to a story in the Chaplin magazine, they would sell but refuse to give away their eggs that the chickens laid. Even close relatives were told, you may have them if you pay for them. As a result, some people labeled the Spurgeons greedy and grasping. They accepted the criticisms without defending themselves, and only after Mrs. Spurgeon died was the full story told. All the profits from the sale of eggs went to support two elderly widows. Because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what their right hand was doing, they endured the tax of others. Amen. We should be careful. Say amen. We don't always know what or why somebody's doing what they're doing, but God knows. Amen. The Bible said to honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase, shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine. I want to say this morning. God has blessed us here at this church. I tell you, there has to be some people that are giving above and beyond, amen, of the tithe. They're not just giving the tithe, but they're giving God an offering. God has blessed the missions program. God has blessed us at the church. But I want to say this. Listen, if you're one of those that's never learned that blessing, you ought to consider it, amen. I'll get into some scripture in a minute that'll help. But listen to me. It'll help you. It'll help your family. My dad said, he used to tell people, it didn't take me long to figure out that God could get more done with 90% than I could with 100%. That's the way my dad looked at it, amen. And God just blessed him over and over and over. That should not be the motive. The motive should be, Jesus, you said it, and I love you, and I'm going to do what you said because I love you, amen. But the Bible said this, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. This is Malachi 3. And I'll give you something that will help you in a minute. Somebody's going to say, well, that's Old Testament. I know it is. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I was thinking about a story when I was looking at this chapter last night and the righteousness of God in our giving. I was thinking about a little boy. He was walking down the road with two quarters. Somebody walked up alongside of him. He was flipping one up in the air. Said, what you going to do with them two quarters? He said, one of them's going in Sunday school. He said, the other one's going to buy an ice cream after church. He said, son, that's good. That's really good. About that time, he flipped that quarter up and he missed it. And it went down the storm drain. And the little boy said, well, Lord, there went your quarter. I wonder how many of God's quarters go to the beach during the summer and never make it back to the house of God. I wonder how many of God's quarters are spent on pleasure instead of treasure. The Bible said to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. That's where the moth and the rust, lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth where the moth and the rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see that right there? And listen, it's not a matter of the billfold. It's a matter of the heart. Amen? It's a matter of loving the Lord. You say, Pastor, where do you find it in the New Testament? Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Now watch this. He said, "These things ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He was not talking about making an exchange, but he's saying you're leaving off some things that ought to be done for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but the Lord has blessed us, amen, in our home. And I thank Him for His blessings. But I want to do what's right, amen, because God has blessed us dearly. When you go to the doctor for your annual checkup, he or she, the doctor, will often begin to poke. And they'll prod and they'll press in various places, all while asking, "Does this hurt? How many's with me? Does this hurt?" And it kind of reminds me of a fellow that went to the doctor my dad used to go to church with, and he jumped up on the table and the doctor said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "If you'll give me $100, I'll tell you." I mean, we're supposed to go to the doctor to let them tell us what's wrong, amen. He said, "Does this hurt? How about this? If you cry out in pain, one of two things has happened. Either the doctor has pushed too hard without the right sensitivity, or more likely, there's something wrong, and the doctor will say, we better do some more tests. It's not supposed to hurt there." So it is when pastors preach on financial responsibility, and certain members cry out in discomfort, criticizing the message and the messenger. Either the pastor has pushed too hard, or perhaps there's something wrong. In that case, my friend, we're in need of the great physician, because it's not supposed to hurt there. Amen? I'll tell you, if you've been in this church for the last 13 years, you could probably count on them fingers right there the times that I've even mentioned money. Amen? I don't do this for me. I do it for you, because I want you to be able to stand for God before God one day, and I want you to have treasure in heaven. Amen? Everything we leave down here, beloved, ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. Amen? But I tell you, what we can do for God, what a blessing that's going to be. So there's the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our living. The kingdom of God and His righteousness in our giving. Notice what the Bible said in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Let me say this to you. The Bible said, do all that you do to the glory of God. Do you remember this? I believe it's the book of James that says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to do what we do because we love Him and because it brings honor and it brings glory to Him. Amen. And the Bible said here, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I believe that mammon sometimes has been interpreted as money, but I believe a better interpretation would be materialism. You can't be materialistic, amen, and always focusing on the thing. God knows what we need. He knows we need a roof over our head. He knows we need clothes on our back. He knows we need something to eat. But that should not be what consumes God's people. And it's sad, but there are many people that are going to live the entire year, 2026, consumed with the temporal. They're going to have anxiety. They're going to worry about this and worry about that. And God wants us as His people to put our trust, our confidence, our faith in Him. Did you know that this time next year, there's probably somebody sitting here this morning that will be in the presence of God. I'm just thinking how it goes. Amen. And listen, you say, well, oh yeah, I look around, there's some old people. Honey, it may not be an old person. It may be a young person. I'm trying to recall who it was. I cannot recall right now, but somebody this last week lost a 19-year-old daughter in a car accident. I wish I could recall, I would tell you, but somebody lost a 19... The first thing I thought about was Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby years ago when Amber left this world right out here on Bloomingdale Pike in a car accident. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be sick to leave this world. But I tell you what you do have to be. You have to be ready. Are you ready? If God called your number today, are you ready? Do you know that you know that you know the song they sang? That I was a sinner, but not anymore. I'm now a child of God. Amen. My sin has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for putting up with us. Our Father, this morning, you know the need of every heart, of every life. God, I thank you, Lord, for our people. For those, our Father, that are laying up treasure in heaven. Those, our Father, that understand that when we look in the face of Jesus, the things of earth, they grow strangely dim. Lord, I'm reminded this morning, just now, of Brother Junior and Sister Marie. They've had a terrible week, Lord, with sickness. God, I pray you bless them this morning. Lord, it's impossible for this pastor to remember it all. But God, I know you know every one of us. You know every need. You know the one that's sitting this morning in the congregation that needs to be forgiven. You know the one that's struggling, Lord, with anxiety, struggling with, Lord, just dropping it all in the lap of Jesus. And trusting you, Lord. Help us, Lord, that you wouldn't say of us, oh, ye of little faith. Help us to put our trust in the Lord. Help us this year, our Father, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You said all these other things would be added unto us. Help us, we pray. Let's stand together this morning.